is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. You know, YouTube is a great thing. As a matter of fact, over the Christmas holidays, my children kept wanting to watch the Heat Miser, Snow Miser video on YouTube over and over and over again, and I was glad to do it. But one thing that I've not looked at on YouTube is the execution of Saddam Hussein. It's just not something I want to see, and I think most Americans don't really want to see that. And at the same time, I think most Americans are probably glad that he is dead. But should we be glad? That's what I want to talk about today, Christians and the death penalty. After the Saddam Hussein execution, there's a lot of conversation going on all over the world as to whether or not this is really just, especially when New Jersey has decided, a judicial commission has decided that the death penalty really doesn't fit with a civilized civilization, as a matter of fact. The commission says, let's call a halt to it. I want to start that conversation today with you and with our guest. United States Senator Sam Brownback is a probable presidential candidate, Republican from Kansas. He is making a lot of waves as a conservative contender in the world of presidential politics and has been a thoughtful spokesman on a great many issues in the United States Senate. And I am just very glad to have him with us today on the Albert Mohler Program. Senator Brownback, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. It's a great pleasure to be able to join you, and I look forward to the discussion. You've got a hot, difficult topic that you're addressing.
It really is a difficult topic. And Senator Brownback, one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you is because you've had kind of a nuanced view on the death penalty. You've said that you might be reconsidering your stance on this issue. What do you think about the death penalty?
Well, I think it should be used only in very, very limited circumstances. And the reason I say that is that I really want us to be very thoughtful and considerate on life, and primarily at the beginning of life and innocent life. But I think we need to be thoughtful and considerate and very concerned about it, even when you're dealing with somebody that has committed enormous crimes. But now, take this case of Saddam Hussein. It seems to me in that case that the death penalty is warranted and merited because we could not protect society from him as long as he's alive. And that's a tough thing to say, but I believe it is a true thing to say. And in those cases, I think the death penalty is clearly merited in order to protect further innocent human lives.
So you see the deterrent factor as being the main issue at hand here.
I do. Now I think there are other factors as well. But if we cannot protect society from the individual, from the perpetrator, then I think society is fully merited in using the death penalty.
Do you think that American Christians have not thought enough about issues such as the death penalty?
I don't know if it's fair to say we haven't thought enough about it, but I think we have to really consider it and think about it, particularly because we stand so much for a culture of life.
Mm-hmm.
And there is clearly a difference between innocent life, killing innocent life, and somebody that's committed huge crimes, murders and rapes and these sorts of things. There's a huge difference there, and I think that one is worth thinking about. But I think it is time for us to have a new discussion about this, about where we want to stand on the issues on the death penalty as it impacts our further discussion on having a culture of life that honors every life as sacred.
Senator Brownback, one of the things that you've been involved in is prison reform. World Magazine just a couple of weeks ago featured you on the cover because of your activity at Angola Prison in Louisiana. What do you think we ought to be doing to rehabilitate prisoners, including murderers and others?
I tell you, you couldn't see probably a better case in the country of what we ought to be doing than what's taking place in Angola. They've taken their prisoner-on-prisoner violence rate down from about 450 instances a year to below 100. And what they've done is they have a program they call moral reformation. And basically it's engaging the prisoner's soul. They have a Bible college in the prison. They have chapels in each of the prison pods. And they're engaging his soul, and they're trying to reform the soul of the prisoner, and that has had dramatic impact. And to me, this is one of the things we clearly need to do on trying to drop recidivism rates in this country, is engage this person that's in prison, that has committed these crimes, work with them on a reconciliation process with the victims. That's also something of what's taking place in Angola. But we need to work on this moral reformation, and it is working in the places that it's been engaged.
Would you agree with critics who say it's more likely if you're poor and African American that you're going to be sentenced one way or the other than if you're an upper middle class white male?
Well, that may speak more about the legal system and the quality of lawyers that people get at either side, and I think the statistics will speak for themselves on that. But on the issue of recidivism, we know what's working here, and it's these programs that really engage the soul of the prisoner. I've spent a night in a prison in Kansas that is a faith-based prison. They've got their recidivism rates down below 10%. Normal average in the country is two-thirds. Once you commit a crime, you're going back, and your children are 5 to 8 times more likely to be involved in crime. We know that the current system is not helping the moral reformation of the prisoners, and it's for the good of the society that we should do that.
Is this something you plan to speak about if you indeed run for President of the United States this next year?
It is, because I think it also, in a different way, addresses this whole point that we've raised for so long in the faith community, and that's the dignity of each individual. And that person in prison has dignity, too. And they have chains many times around them that they mentally can't break out of themselves. And here I'm not talking about breaking out of prison, but I'm talking about a mental block that they get caught into a way of crime. And that does not forgive what they have done. If they've committed a crime, they need to do the time. But at the end of that time, we need to work with them. And even during the time that they're serving, we need to work with reforming them. And this is a key thing for the future of our society. It is an important topic with 2 million thereabouts men in prison in the United States.
Well, speaking of presidential politics, there are a lot of evangelical Christians who are really downhearted when we look around at the field, and you have so many candidates who are not talking about a culture of life at all, who are radically pro-abortion rights, even on the Republican side. How are you going to seek to really call out the life issues in the next year or two?
I'm going to talk about them. I'm going to talk about them at the National Right to Life March. I'm going to talk about them in various venues. I'm going to talk about them in different venues. I think it's important for us to talk about life in the prison reform venue. And what my hope is that we can get the rest of America to hear the discussion anew, that they will listen to it and hear the term culture of life, but they're hearing it put in a different package. We're talking about it in different settings, but it is a key issue. It's a key issue for our future, and the country is a pro-life country. We didn't suddenly move after these last 10 years where we've really been moving pro-life and become pro-choice again. It is a pro-life nation. We just need to speak out and speak out caringly, lovingly, but truthfully on this important topic.
Now, it sounds like you're optimistic that some things can actually be done.
I am, actually, because the base of the country has shifted, and the base of the country is pro-life. But you know, we had a bad election cycle, but it wasn't because of the life issue. Mm-hmm. It was because of the war and corruption, and also it was Bush's second term and off-year election, and those typically the party in power lose seats during those times. But we didn't lose because of the life issue. We didn't lose because of taxes. We didn't lose because we were for fiscal restraint. If anything, on that topic, we lost because we didn't show fiscal restraint. Our topics are still good.
Well, Senator Brownback, we're going to be praying for you and for your safety as you go forward into Iowa and New Hampshire and Nevada and South Carolina and the other early primary states, and pray that you'll remain strong and healthy. And we certainly appreciate your talking with us today on the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you. And those prayers are the the key thing. That's what we need the most as leaders, and that's what our country needs. Thank you very much. God bless you and
Thank
your
you.
Listeners.
Thank you very much. Senator Sam Brownback, he says he has some questions about the way that we're using the death penalty, that maybe the death penalty ought to be reserved only for those murderers who are a threat to society at large, as Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden, not necessarily applied across the board. What do you think? The death penalty. Should Christians reconsider this issue? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. After all, this is not a liberal. This is the conservative candidate for President of the United States so far in the field, the most conservative candidate in the field so far. And he says, let's reconsider the death penalty issue. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Alone within myself tonight, my heart is filled with fear. The only sound within the room is the falling of each tear. I think about...
This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, recuperating from surgery right now. And we're talking today about the issue of... really something that's not very light and happy after the holidays, is really a very somber and grave situation when you think about it. We're talking about issues of life and death, even though right now you have people who are celebrating all over the world, some people celebrating, about the execution of Saddam Hussein. A brutal dictator is now dead. Question is that something that as Christians we ought to be celebrating? Is it something we ought to be happy about? Especially since the debate right now over the death penalty is heating up. In the United Nations, Italy is fighting against the death penalty worldwide. As a matter of fact, there has been such an uproar over this that the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon had to make this statement about the issue of capital punishment and member nations of the UN.
Saddam Hussein was responsible for committing heinous crimes and unspeakable atrocities against Iraqi people, and we should never forget the victims of his crimes. The issue of capital punishment is for each and every member state to decide. As a Secretary General, at the same time, while I am firmly against impunity, I also hope that members of the international community should pay due regard to all aspects of international humanitarian laws. During my entire tenure, I'll try my best to help member states, international community, to strengthen the rule of law.
And that's not just an international issue. In the United States of America, the issue has been joined because you have, in Florida, for instance, considerations about whether or not the Florida system is fair, whether or not the Florida system is just. And in New Jersey, just this week, on Tuesday, a legislative commission recommended that New Jersey become the first state to abolish the death penalty since the state started reinstating capital punishment 35 years ago. And this commission said there is no reason to think that the death penalty serves any legitimate purpose. As a matter of fact, a member of that commission, James Abbott, who's a police chief of West Orange, New Jersey, had this to say.
The reality of it is it doesn't work in New Jersey. It hasn't worked in New Jersey, and there's nothing on the forecast or the horizon that would lead any reasonable person to believe that it's going to work in New Jersey anytime in the future.
Well, that's the question. Should we see the death penalty as part of the rule of law? Should we as Christians particularly see the death penalty as something that God has given to the state as a way to maintain order and as a way to execute justice? And that's what I want to hear from you about. Do you think that as Christians we should support the death penalty, or should we say, you know what, it doesn't work, we shouldn't use it? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and I'd be glad to talk to you about issues of life and death, the death penalty. But first, have on the line Richard Dieter, who is the executive director of the Death Penalty Information Center. He's been in this role since 1992. He's a graduate of the Georgetown Law School and is an adjunct professor at Catholic University Law School. And he's been speaking quite a bit all over the national media these days about the issue of the death penalty. Mr. Dieter, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you very much for having me.
Well, do you think the New Jersey Commission was right?
Well, they were looking at the death penalty in practice, not from a religious perspective or even from a theoretical constitutional perspective, but simply, is it a good policy? And they heard from the people of New Jersey in 5 days of public hearings, and after hearing from the experts, they decided it wasn't worth keeping. I, that's a different determination than saying it in theory has no possible benefits, but rather it just is far more expensive and has too many burdens to be worth keeping.
Well, I think you're right. It seems to me that there are several issues involved here. One is whether or not the death penalty is moral. Is the death penalty ever right? The second is, does the death penalty work? Is the death penalty actually effective? And the third is the death penalty fairly applied? Where do you see most of the questioning on this issue taking place, at least in the constituencies that you've been talking to?
Well, most of the concern is that we not execute, of course, an innocent person. And there's been a lot of revelations over the past 10 years that there's at least a high risk that we've already done so, that we could do so in the future. Certainly people have been freed from death row through DNA testing and other reasons. And so there's now a new consciousness that there's a burden associated with the death penalty, not in theory, but a real burden that if you're going to have it, you're going to risk some innocent lives, and people don't think that the benefits, that is, some possible deterrence or retribution, are worth that risk. At least that's where the debate is. There's also questions about fairness, but I think innocence is the primary one that people are worried about.
Well, I'm a death penalty supporter, but I have an open mind on this. I'm not someone who's dancing up and down in the streets when a murderer is executed. But I do think, don't you think that there's something that cheapens the life of a victim when a murderer, say, or a serial killer is just allowed to languish in prison year after year after year after year without the state saying we are going to require your life for this?
Well, I mean, I think the highest respect that we can show for life is that we're going to preserve each one no matter what. I must admit that's more of a theory. But dispensing with the theory for the moment, even if we were to espouse the idea that some of these people shouldn't languish, what's to distinguish one victim from another victim? These people have committed murder, but so have 10,000 other people, and they don't get the death penalty. So either we apply it and say, if you take a life, you shall no longer languish in prison. We're going to kill you 10,000 times as much as we do, or we do away with this pick and choose, which gets to be very arbitrary. Sometimes is depends on your economic status, your racial status, things that we don't want to make distinctions on. They come into play when we're basically choosing 1% of those who murdered and execute them. That's where the problems come in.
Republican presidential candidate and U.S. Senator Sam Brownback was on the program shortly before we brought you on today, and he's arguing that we ought to reconsider the death penalty except for those killers that are a threat to society at large, such as a Saddam Hussein or an Osama bin Laden. What would you say to that argument?
Well, I think Senator Brownback has really, advanced, had some hearings in the Senate on this, has, from a conservative and religious perspective, opened a lot of people's minds about this. I think it would be a far better death penalty in the U.S. if it were restricted to the Osama bin Ladens and, perhaps the Saddam Husseins, those kinds of extreme cases, and take it out of the way it's been used in the criminal justice system and this picking and choosing. So, I'm not so sure it even works that well on the Husseins of the world, but it would be an improvement. It would be a step forward.
All right. Well, thank you, Richard Dieter, for being with us today to talk about the death penalty. I want to hear from you. As a Christian, do you think the death penalty is right or is it wrong? Does it work? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should I change my mind on supporting the death penalty, on wishing that it were applied more often rather than less often? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we're talking about the death penalty, about capital punishment. Senator Sam Brownback, one of the most conservative senators in the United States Senate, says he's reconsidering the death penalty, says perhaps we ought to only use it in the cases of very, very extreme killers who are a threat to society as a whole, Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, and such as that. I'm just not convinced. I'll put it that way. I'm someone with an open mind on this issue. I have no glee and no joy at the idea of anyone being executed. At the same time, I am drawn again and again to what God has said in Genesis chapter 9 and what God gives to Noah, not just for the people of Israel, but for the entire human race, where God says after the flood, whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God made man in his own image. It seems to me that if we're going to maintain a culture of life, that means that we have to see the killing of another human being as something so serious that it forfeits the right to life. I think that's repeated in the New Testament when the Apostle Paul speaks to the church at Rome and says that the governing authorities, they do not wield the sword in vain, that they wield the sword against evildoers. It seems to me that there's not just an allowance for the death penalty, but that there's a command for the death penalty. But a command for it to be applied fairly and a command for justice to come swiftly. I just don't see how a culture of life argument negates that. What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. What should we think about the death penalty? At the same time, I do think that there's a sense in which life is cheapened when we see, for instance, people standing outside of prisons when an execution is going on, holding up signs that say, fry him. I just don't think that that's reflective of a Christian worldview either. I think that we ought to see the death penalty as something that is necessary, something that is tragic, something that weighs upon us. I mean, Saddam Hussein was a horrible human being. Saddam Hussein was an awful dictator and a murderer, and yet we ought to have a certain sense of weight about us when we consider the fact that unless Saddam Hussein repented and believed in that last second after he was chanting Muslim chants to Allah, unless in that last second he reached out and looked to the Lord Jesus Christ, Saddam Hussein's in hell right now. That's not something we should celebrate. That's something we ought to really feel in our souls as a horrible, horrible thing. What do you think about the death penalty? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Jim on the line who's calling from Wichita, Kansas. Jim, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Dr. Moore, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you for calling. What do you think about this?
Thank you for taking my call. I was glad to hear that Senator Brownback was on the show with you because I really respect the man. I've talked to his office various times on other issues like the gay marriage and that kind of stuff. But I kind of stand with him in that I believe that the death penalty should be used only in extreme circumstances where society cannot be protected from the actions of the perpetrator. And I think Senator Brownback hit the nail on the head with that. I've always had, just like you said, I agree with your viewpoint in that life is precious. Every life should be, it shouldn't be cheapened by letting someone sit in prison for 15, 20, 30, 40 years, whatever, and have the taxpayers paying for their incarceration when they've done a heinous crime.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, I realized, too, that there are innocent people that are put to death through various circumstances, through the litigation process of the judicial system that we have. And, you know, that in itself kind of makes me want to kind of stay in the middle.
Okay. All right, well, that's a good point, Jim. Jim says he's not necessarily opposed to the death penalty on broad moral grounds, but because he's afraid too many innocent people are being executed. You know, I think that's a legitimate concern. I think there are ways for that to be addressed. I think that we can address that legislatively, judicially, but without completely doing away with capital punishment altogether. What do you think? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How, as Christians, should we think about death row? I mean, we're called to forgive those who sin against us as Christians, and yet at the same time, God says he's holding the state accountable to execute justice. What does that mean when it comes to the question of the electric chair or the gallows, death row? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, toll-free. How should we think about the death penalty? This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. Willie Nelson's view and Toby Keith's view, but is that the mind of Christ? That's what we're talking about today, the death penalty. Should we round up all of the bad boys and hang them high in the street for all the people to see, or is there a different view of justice? This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, toll free. The death penalty, is that something that we as Christians ought to be working toward and praying for to be more used? Or should we agree with New Jersey, with the legislative commission there, and say this is something that doesn't work and it is not consistent with, as they put it, evolving standards of decency? That's the one thing that Richard Dieter was completely wrong on in his analysis when he said New Jersey is just saying it doesn't work. That's not what New Jersey is saying. New Jersey is saying not only do they believe it doesn't work, but they believe it is not consistent with evolving standards of decency. Now, what about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Does the death penalty fit with a Christian worldview? I want to hear from you, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Bonnie on the line calling from Holland, Michigan. Bonnie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. I have a criminal justice background, as in I have a degree in it.
Okay.
And time again, all my professors said, it doesn't work, we should deal away with it. But the reason I see it doesn't work is because it's not applied properly. It's not applied biblically.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can we apply it biblically?
Well, I believe that we're kind of on the right track in that we don't do it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that we should do it to more than we do now.
Yeah.
As in, not just people who have created, have committed many murders, but anybody who has murdered on purpose.
Yeah, Bonnie, I think that you're on to something here. I think one of the problems with the death penalty is the fact that it is not applied across the board. So someone who is a murderer in one situation is going to have a very different penalty. How can you have a deterrent effect when no one knows if justice is going to come at all? Yeah, I agree probably with those death penalty opponents who say the death penalty doesn't have a deterrent effect. As it exists right now, I think that's probably correct, because no one knows if you're ever going to be executed for a crime or not. I also agree the death penalty ought to be applied fairly. We ought to make sure and be rigorous in making sure that the death penalty applies just as much to wealthy white guys as it does to inner city African American impoverished people. I think it ought to apply equally to everyone, and it ought to be swift. If that were the case, I think we might have an entirely different conversation. But what do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Should Christians support the death penalty, or should we join with those who say this is not something that is civil? If you're pro-life, should you be anti-death penalty? Give me a call, 877-893-TALK. We have Bruce on the line. Bruce, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Dr. Moore, I'm a Christian. I believe the death penalty is valid. I have issue with Brownback's argument, and here's why.
Okay.
He says, use it only in extreme cases. Well, how do you define extreme? To me, extreme could be the serial killer terrorizing a community in the West Coast. Extreme could be the snipers that terrorized Northern Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
And so who is to define extreme? I think he's way off base if he wants to enlarge it to a definition of his making. But that doesn't apply across the board.
Okay. Well, thanks for that viewpoint, Bruce. What do you think? The death penalty, is this something that we ought to be very careful about using and applying, or you agree with Bonnie? Should we use the death penalty more and make sure that it is certain? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Christianity and the death penalty, how should we look at this issue? I mean, we're pro-life people. We talk about a culture of life. Does that mean that we ought to be standing outside death row saying, let's grant clemency to everybody? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. We have George on the line. George, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thank you.
What's your thought on this issue?
Well, I think part of our problem is that the penalties aren't being carried out swiftly enough. I mean, nobody wants this, but there's no retribution because the penalties aren't carried out. We have how many people on death row and how many people are actually executed?
Okay, yeah, well, part of that has to do with the legal system that is run amok. That's true. You have people who have endless appeals. But, and I agree with you that we ought to have swift justice when it comes to the death penalty, but not too swift. I think we ought to make sure that anybody who is executed is, in fact, guilty. I do agree with Senator Brownback that you don't want a situation where you execute innocent people. I do think you can address that, though, without completely doing away with the death penalty. What do you think? 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. How should we as Christians think about the death penalty? We have Cynthia on the line calling from Springfield, Illinois. Cynthia, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. What's your thought today on this?
Well, as a Christian, I am definitely 100% against death penalty.
Okay, why?
I think that as Christians who follow the teachings and the leadership of Christ, when we receive that new covenant from him, our greatest command is to love one another, no matter who or what our sins are. And I know that's very difficult, and that's a deep and complicated issue to open up.
Mm-hmm.
But us being executioner and judge and, you know, taking into our own hands the termination of a life just seems like we are trying to pretend to be God.
Well, Cynthia, it seems to me that could apply also to taking away someone's liberty. Should we release, open up the prisons and let all the prisoners out?
Oh, absolutely not.
What do you think? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Cynthia says that the death penalty violates what Jesus commands when he says forgive. Love one another, love your enemies. I disagree with her. I think that does indeed apply to us as individual Christians. It applies to us as the church. We don't have the right to gather up in vigilante gangs and to execute someone. But Jesus himself tells us through the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, that he's given the sword to the state. What do you think? 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Throne is made of gold. The ark of his testament is stowed. A throne from which I'm told all history does unfold. It's made of wood and wire, and my body is on fire.
and God is never far away. Into the mercy seat I climb. My head is shaved, my head is wired, and like a moth that tries to enter the bright eye, I go.
Man alive, that is a haunting song. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and today we're talking about a very serious and sober subject, and that is death. The death penalty, capital punishment, is this something that Christians ought to support? Or should we be joining with the Legislative Commission in New Jersey and with the nation of Italy and with others saying, this just isn't right? That's what we're talking about today, and we've got Matt on the line. Matt, welcome to the Albert Mohler program.
Hey, Dr. Moore, how's it going?
Hey, all right. What's your thought on this?
Basically, the death penalty is essential, utterly essential to the gospel.
How's that?
Because Jesus died under death penalty. He took the penalty for our sins because he did not sin himself. If it was just a random murder, which is what the death penalty would mean if it has no authority, if it's a random murder, then how can that atone for sins?
Well, Matt, that's a good point. I do think that justice is essential to the gospel. I do think that we have to understand that there is a blood penalty required for sin. I do think that we need to maintain this, and I think that we also need to understand that God has given a responsibility to the church to preach mercy, to preach forgiveness, to preach grace. He also has given a responsibility to the state to restrain evildoers, as he says in Romans chapter 13, and to make sure that the state upholds the fact that human life is distinct, human life is precious, and he tells us, when he speaks to Noah and says, that means anyone who sheds human blood shall have his blood shed. That doesn't mean it's something pleasant. It doesn't mean that we ought to see the death penalty as something that we're jumping up and down cheering about. It means, though, that we ought to say, if a state can't execute someone without executing innocent people, then they ought to do away with the death penalty. If a state can't exercise the death penalty without using it in a way that is partial, in a way that mistreats the poor, that is racially biased, then they ought to set it aside until they can fix it. But what we ought to be looking for is a day when the state does exactly what it's called to do, which is to exercise justice, which means the power of the sword, which I do think means death. But in the meantime, we ought to realize exactly what Matt just said. It's not as though you have some people out there who are deserving of the death penalty. In an ultimate sense, all of us are deserving of the death penalty. All of us have a capital punishment sentence hanging over our head. And the only hope that we have is that somebody was executed in our place, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. That's the gospel. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.